Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. It's great to be with you today. We're going to be talking about a parable that Jesus spoke in Matthew 22, if you have your Bible there, and we'll look at this. This is about the kingdom of heaven, and this parable gives us a description or a picture of the kingdom of heaven, what we can expect, what we can look forward to, how we can participate, how we can join, and all of these things are spoken in this parable. It's very simple on its surface, but underneath it's very deep and it's very detailed. And so we'll take it verse by verse here, starting in verse 2 of chapter 22. Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son." Well, his son is Jesus. That's the focus of the story, is the son. And the son has a marriage arranged for him by his father. And that marriage is between the son and the church, the body of Christ. And so in verse 3, it says, "And he sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come." Well, this speaks of the stubbornness, the fall of man, the rebellion of man. God had provided for Adam and Eve in the garden, the perfect world, the world where there was no sin, there was no pain, there was no tears, and there was no suffering. And that world was provided for them, and all they had to do was listen to the instructions of God and obey the instructions of God. But, of course, we know that wasn't possible for them to do. They fell into sin. They fell into temptation first and then into sin. And so this speaks of the fallen state of man. They were not willing to come to the wedding. And verse 4, "Again, he sent out other servants saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed and all things are ready. Come to the wedding.' But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm and another to his own business." Well, that is a picture of people as they hear the gospel preached, as they hear the good news of the gospel. Many, many of them will reject it. Many of them are too busy to pay attention to the Lord's calling on their life. Many of them are too preoccupied with business. Many of them are too preoccupied with the riches of the world and the cares of the world to pay attention to what the Lord is trying to say to them. Beloved, when this was written 2,000 years ago, things were busy then, but I know you know that things are much busier now. Things are much more hectic now. There's more pressure to stay busy 7 days a week. There's sports on Sunday. There's business on Sunday. All the businesses are open. When I was a youngster growing up in Kansas, there were hardly any businesses open on Sunday. The day was given over to the Lord. Just about every family in town went to church on that day. And so it was not a busy day. It was a day for visitations. Family would go visit their loved ones. Family would go visit their mothers and fathers, their grandparents, and spend the whole day there in visitation, spend the whole day sharing a meal and visiting. And so we see now in 2019, things are much, much busier. Things are much hectic. And so we have this problem also of social media. And when people have a 5-second interlude between anything that's happening in their life, they get on their phone and they call a friend, or they text a friend, or they look on Facebook or Instagram. And so it's much, much busier now. People are hurried, they're harried, they're stressed out, they are anxious, and they have little time. Even the churches that meet, most of them meet for only about an hour, maybe an hour and a half at the very most. Very, very few of them have a Sunday night service. Very few of them have an all-night prayer meeting or even a one-hour prayer meeting. And so we have here a picture of the 21st century church, which is a church made up of very, very busy people. And that is true not only in America. It's true in Africa, other places in the nation. Everybody has smartphones. Everybody has cell phones. And so Jesus said, They made light of the invitation they were given to the wedding, and they went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. Well, we all have things we can do on Sunday. We all have things that we can attend to on Sunday, business enterprises, sports activities, TV all day long with sports. And so we know it is a busy life. But beloved, when you set that day aside, when you set that day aside and say, I'm going to honor the Lord on this day, I'm going to give this day over to the Lord, I am Lord of the Sabbath. When you set that day aside, and I'm not saying here, I'm not claiming that Sunday is the Sabbath. I'm just saying when you set aside a day to worship, to honor the Lord, and you put your business aside, you put your farm work aside, you put your sports aside for many, many years. I fasted on Sunday for about 3 years. I did that. I fasted every Sunday, spent the whole day in communication, communion with the Lord, praying and reading my Bible and just taking care of church activities or taking care of spiritual pursuits in my life. And beloved, that was a great blessing to me. It was a kickoff to Gather the Outcast ministry. And so when you have that kind of intimacy with the Lord, you can come to know him in a deeper way, and he will launch you into ministry. He will launch you into an intimate walk with him. I had experiences with the Lord back then that I haven't had since. I had experiences that really precipitated or started off this Gather the Outcast ministry. It launched Gather the Outcast ministry first into the prisons and then international mission trips. And so the result of that is preaching crusades in Africa, the place that I am now. And so the Lord prepared me line upon line, order upon order, precept upon precept. And all of these things God was doing in my life to prepare me for the ministry that I have here today. And so this message about the parable where people reject the message, they are too busy, it reminds me of another parable that Jesus spoke in Matthew 13, the parable of the sower, where it says the sower went out to sow, and that is Jesus. He's sowing the word of God. And the four different types of seed, there were four types of seed. The first type, the seed fell on the side of the road, and the birds came and they picked it up and they carried the seed off. Well, that represents when the word comes into a person's heart, they have little understanding of it and they find it too complex or too mysterious, and they don't want to put forth any effort to understand the word. They don't want to read the Bible. They don't want to go to church. They don't want to listen when other people try to instruct them. And so they have this lack of understanding. It says the devil comes and snatches the word out of their heart, and they have no understanding. And so therefore, that seed produces nothing. Well, the second type of seed in the parable of the sower is the seeds that is sown on the stony ground, and that stony ground represents persecution that comes when we receive the seed, when we receive the word of God, and it gets planted in our heart and it starts to put a root down. But because, as you know, on stony ground there is no good soil there, the roots have a hard time establishing themselves in the stones in that soil. And so the stony ground represents persecution. Well, beloved, many people, they find that they receive the word, they want to hear the word, they listen to the word, they receive it, but because they receive persecution from their family or from their friends or from their religion that they're in, if they're coming out of another religion such as Islam or some other type of religion, that they cannot stand up to the persecution, they cannot, and so they wilt under the persecution, and they don't want to stay with what God has planted in their heart because their friends are more important, their family is more important, the religion that they're already in, even if it is a pagan or a demonic religion, it is more important to them, and so they back away, and so that plant, because it has no deep root in good soil, the persecution that those people receive, it causes that seed and that plant to die, because when the sun comes out and the hot sun starts to parch the plant and parch the ground, the plant dies because it has no firm root in itself. And so there is no productivity, there is no fruit that comes from that seed, from that plant as well. Well, the third kind of seed in the parable of the sower is the seed that is sown in the thorny ground. And this seed also produces a plant. It takes root and it produces a plant. But as the plant grows up, it starts to get bigger. And then the thorns that are around that plant, they take over and they start to strangle that plant. They start to choke it out. And eventually that plant also dies because it has no freedom, it has no liberty, it has no strength to go ahead and grow because the thorns and the weeds and the bad plants that are around it choke it out, and so therefore it is not productive either. Well, the thorny ground represents the riches of the world, the cares of the world, the desire for riches, and the desire to work all the time, the desire to keep focused on all the aspects of the worldly cares. And this is what is talked about here in verse 5, chapter 22. They made light of the fact that the Lord had prepared a wedding for them, and they went their own ways. They said, no, we're going to reject the invitation. I need to take care of my business. I need to take care of my farm. I need to take care of my family. I only have one day to take care of myself, so I need to take my family to the lake. I need to go golfing on that day. I need to hang out with the boys. Whatever it is, the busyness of the world and the desire for riches choke out that plant, and so therefore that plant produces nothing. And so the same way in chapter 22, verse 5, people reject the invitation to the wedding because they're just flat out too busy to pay attention and too busy to follow up and receive the invitation that the Lord has for them. And then it says in verse 6, the rest seized his servants, seized the Lord's servants. Well, these are the prophets who come to give the message. These are the pastors who come to give the message. These are the evangelists who come to preach the message. These are the people who have dedicated their lives to speaking the word of God, dedicated their lives to giving the message of the gospel all over the world, in remote places, in radio broadcasts, television broadcasts, platforms, in crusade settings. All of these people are committed to sharing the gospel. But it says the rest of the people, those who did not receive the message, they seized the servants and they treated them spitefully and killed them. Well, we know, beloved, that many people are killed every year, not so much in the United States, but other places in the world. People are killed for sharing the good news of the gospel. People are killed for standing up and preaching on a platform here, right here in Mumias, Kenya. We had an evangelist that was chopped up by Muslims several years ago. They rushed the platform he was standing on, and he was speaking the message. They rushed that platform, and they chopped him up and sent him into the hospital. It didn't kill him, but it severely injured him and wounded him. And so it says that they treated these prophets and evangelists and pastors, they treated them spitefully, and they killed them. Well, I pray that never happens in the United States. I pray that we have open dialogue, and we have freedom of religion, and we have the opportunity through the radio, through television, through our churches, through crusades, and in many other ways, conferences. We have the ability and the freedom, the privilege to share the good news of the gospel. I pray that that never changes. I pray that our government will protect those who are preaching the gospel, that they can preach the truth over the radio and over the TV and in their churches, and they never have to fear the government. They never have to fear people persecuting them. I know persecution is coming. I know there is fear already in the body of Christ that there's going to be great persecution. But I can tell you this, beloved, if we are persecuted, Jesus said, blessed are those who are persecuted for the kingdom's sake, for the righteousness' sake, for the kingdom of heaven will be for such as these. And so when you're persecuted, Jesus said, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be exalted. Yes, some people even in America, may end up giving their life. I pray that does not happen, but I see it happening. I see it coming on the horizon. And I say in Jesus' mighty name that America shall be a beacon of freedom. It shall be a beacon of religious freedom, where people will always be able to speak the truth about the religion. They'll always be able to speak the truth about the truth in God's word regarding subjects that people don't want to hear about. And I pray that in the United States of America, that privilege, that right, that freedom that we have will always be upheld. And beloved, I encourage you to pray for your pastors. I encourage you to pray for evangelists, for prophets. I encourage you to pray for missionaries overseas. We have persecution here in Kenya. We have persecution in Africa. There's many Muslims in this area I live in. And there's Hindus other places in Kenya. And there's just pagan, crazy, violent people also. And so you never know what you're going to encounter. And so I ask for your prayers. I pray you pray for missionaries worldwide, not only for their provision, but also for their safety and for the countries that they preach in, the countries that they minister in. We have some missionaries that are serving in countries that are 99% Muslim or 98% Muslim, and it's very, very tough ministering in there. It's very easy to give up, to throw up your hands and say, I don't see any progress, I don't see any hope, I don't see anybody coming to the Lord. And it's very easy for them to throw up their hands and throw in the towel and say, I'm heading home someplace where it's easier to minister. And so I pray that you would also pray for these people that are in these difficult countries, in these unreached tribal areas, in these unreached countries, so that people, even in those places, can come to know the gospel through radio broadcasts, through Far East Asia radio, through all of the ways, through the internet and through blogs and all the ways that people try to reach those who are lost and don't know Jesus. I pray that you would every day pray for those people, pray for me, pray for Gather the Outcast Ministry, and it will be greatly appreciated. Well, it says in verse 7, when the king heard that people were being killed and treated spitefully, he was furious, and he sent out his armies and destroyed these murderers and burned up their city. Well, I see that as a parable for Jesus sends out his angels. We are in a spiritual war. Jesus sends out the angels to attack the demons of hell, to attack the demons of the devil, who are attacking pastors, who are attacking churches, who are attacking evangelists and crusades. Jesus sends out his angels. I once had an inmate in the prison where I was preaching. He came to me and shared a vision with me, and he said, Jim, you're going to be encountering witches that are going to come against your crusade. And he was speaking of a crusade that I was going to be preaching in Africa. It happened in Uganda several years ago. He said the Lord showed in a vision that witches were going to be coming against the crusade. They're going to try to disrupt it and eventually put it out, quench it. And he said, I saw the Lord send hailstones, giant hailstones from heaven, and hit these witches on the head and take them out as they were trying to disrupt the crusade. And beloved, that very same thing happened when I was in Uganda. I saw it happen in the spirit. I didn't see the hailstones in the spirit, but I saw the people being taken out. And so this vision that he was given came to pass, and we had a very successful crusade. It was over in Tororo in eastern Uganda. And so Jesus is the commander of the army. He's the commander. He is the Lord of hosts. And so he is the commander of the Lord's army, and he can take care of the devil. He can send his angels to have great victory over the devil in areas and in ways that we as humans cannot. But our battle, we need to stay focused on the battle. You need to stay focused on the idea that we are in a battle. This isn't business as usual. This isn't peaches and cream. This isn't a walk in the park. We are in a spiritual battle. You are in a spiritual battle. If you're just a baby believer, you may not understand that. If you are a mature believer, you know we are in a spiritual battle, and the battle is not against flesh and blood. It isn't against people. We love all people, even those that are against us. We love our enemies. We love all people. But our battle is not against flesh and blood. Our battle is against powers and principalities, rulers of darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And so our battle is a spiritual battle. It's a battle between Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God and the angels who work with Jesus and who are servants to Jesus, and then the devil and his angels and his demonic spirits, the demons and all those who work with the devil to try to destroy the kingdom of God. And so it says in verse 8, back in chapter 22, then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. Verse 10, so those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with the guests. Well, the wedding hall, beloved, is going to be filled with the guests someday. We are going to sit down, and this isn't for the bad and the good. This is just for the good. We are going to sit down someday, the righteous, the saints who have accepted Jesus Christ, who have committed themselves to serving the King, who have committed themselves to receiving instruction from the King and honoring Him and loving Him and worshiping Him. Those people are going to sit down with the King at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and they're going to sit with the King, and they're going to dine with the King, and they're going to sup with the King, and it's not going to be any small banquet. There's going to be billions of people there. The tables are already set, just as Jesus said, the wedding is ready. The tables are already set, and the time is coming closer, beloved. Every day we're coming closer to the return of Jesus Christ. Every day we're coming closer to the second coming, to the rapture, when he takes the church out and we are seated with him in the heavenly places, in the highest of heavens. We're seated with him, and the wedding is consummated, the marriage between the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, or the King in this parable, and the people who have accepted and received the invitation to come to the wedding. We're going to sit down with him, and we're going to rejoice, because heaven is going to be filled with people that love the Lord Jesus. Heaven is going to be filled with people that rejoice in his coming. They rejoice because they know they're going to come back and rule and reign in the millennial reign and the New Jerusalem. They know that Jesus is going to be with them, and they are going to be with Jesus for all eternity, and nothing is ever, ever going to separate them from their love and from their devotion and their desire to serve Jesus. Well, verse 11, it says, when the King came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. And so he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And the man was speechless. Well, then the King said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Well, beloved, many are called to the banquet. You are called. I am called. Have you answered the call to the banquet? It says many are called, but few are chosen. That doesn't mean God only chooses certain people for salvation. That is not what that means. That's not a Calvinist doctrine manifesto. God does not choose certain people for salvation. All are called, but only a few answer the call, and those are the chosen ones. Those are the righteous ones. It doesn't mean that the other people didn't have an opportunity. It doesn't mean that God closed the door on them. They had the opportunity to come in. They had the opportunity to say yes to the invitation, I'll be there. And they had the opportunity to sit with Jesus and dine with him in heaven for all eternity. But they let the devil tear them away. They let the devil talk to them. They let the devil speak to them. And so they refused the invitation. They were too busy to answer it. They were too busy to respond. And so Jesus said, take them away, bind them, take them away. They don't have on the wedding garments. They're not dressed properly for this wedding. And so take them away to the place of outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, beloved, that's hell. That's hell for all eternity. That's separation from Jesus, from the Lord God, from the angels, from your ancestors who loved and served the Lord Jesus. That is eternal separation from all the things of God. And you don't want that to happen. Repent today. Turn to your Lord today. Get down on your knees. Repent and turn from your wicked ways. Say, yes, Jesus, I want to bow my knee to you. I want to serve you. I repent of my sin. Take me into your kingdom. Prepare and take me to the wedding. I'm ready to come. Well, beloved, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank you for each and every person out there listening today, and we invite you to partner with this ministry, not only to keep these messages coming so that you can know Jesus Christ as your Lord, but also that we can continue to take the good news of the gospel to the people of Africa, to the people of Kenya and Tanzania and the countries in East Africa. And so we thank you for the opportunity to do that, and we rely on your support. We invite you to partner with us. Stay tuned for contact information. Have a great week. Tune in again next week. God bless you.